Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we are answering your questions about starting pitching, the Hall of Fame, potential midseason acquisitions, and maybe even a little bit about the minor leagues. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time watching or listening, I am Jeff Snyder. That is Vince Samperio right next to me, at least electronically. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Visit Rock Auto and tell them Locked On sent you. So again, please subscribe and let's talk about the Dodgers. Vince, the Dodgers had an off day. Those have been rare the last month or so. Nice to get an off day. And that means we got to put out a call for questions, got some good questions for a nice mailbag episode. And so unless you have any preamble, we might as well jump right in, right?
Yeah, I don't got anything. There was no news that I can remember. So let's get right into it.
All right. I like this one from Michael Pacheco at 24M Pacheco on Twitter. He asks, how concerned should the Dodgers be about Walker Buehler? Should he skip some starts?
I don't think skipping starts is what he needs. I don't think it's a matter of him being tired or fatigued or anything else. I think, if anything, he needs to pitch his way out of this, which is kind of what he's been saying the last few times out. He's battling his mechanics, and the only way to kind of get through those mechanics is to pitch in major league games. He can, you know, in theory, I guess he could skip a start and have him work extra in the bullpen, but it doesn't really matter if you can figure it out in the bullpen if you don't figure it out when you're on the mound in the actual game. So should there be a small level of concern? I would say yes, a very small level of concern at this point. Now, you talk to me after two more starts and they have mediocre results, then that level of concern will raise with every passing start, I think, once we hit July. But as of now, it's still one of those where he can pitch out of it. You know, Buehler's started slow in the past. I don't think it's ever extended this far out. But, you know, from what we've seen, the stuff is still there. So I don't think it's an issue. It's just him trying to figure out command and putting the ball where he wants to. So, yeah.
Yeah. If we had any indication that this was health related for Buehler, skipping a start or two might make sense. Or even, you know, even if it wasn't health related, you know, one option might be to do some sort of phantom IL stint followed by, you know, three or four rehab starts in the minors to work on mechanics. But I think, like you said, I think the thing that's going to get him out of this is pitching in the big leagues. I think he could have success in AAA without his best stuff. And so I don't know. They'd really have to dig into the numbers on spin rate and everything. And I think the best indicator of how's this stuff doing is going to be throwing it to big league hitters and seeing how successful it is. And the Dodgers do have the luxury. I know they don't have a huge division lead or anything, but the Dodgers are going to the postseason. And so, like we've talked about it with a lot of different things, the Dodgers do everything with a mind on October. And so I think it's worth, even if it, I mean, you can make a case that Buehler's start on Saturday cost the Dodgers two games because they lost Saturday and depleted the bullpen, which affected them on Sunday. But even if that's the case, I think it's worth getting him right because the Dodgers' chances of winning the World Series this year are much better if Walker Buehler is right.
And the other part is, up until this last start, it's not like he was bad. He just wasn't up to Walker Buehler standards.
Yeah, which is funny because this last start, his stuff was actually better. So, you know, who knows? But, I don't think skipping starts is the answer. I do think if they go to the six-man rotation, that maybe helps give him an extra day off between starts.
Speaking of six-man rotation, that is a perfect segue into another question from at Bronger 7. He says, with Heaney and Kershaw coming back, will they go to a six-man rotation, keeping Kershaw on his normal preferred schedule while giving others the extra day? We've talked about the six-man rotation and how we're both in favor of it, but this is a different wrinkle to that with Kershaw being normal and everyone else getting an extra day.
And I feel like he's saying that Kershaw's normal preferred schedule is an extra day between starts. So basically saying that a six-man rotation would be the preferred option for Kershaw. I think that's what this question is saying. And yeah, I mean, you and I, Vince, we've both expressed that we are proponents of the six-man rotation, given the current state of the Dodgers. Obviously that's with health being willing, if some other starter got hurt. And so a six-man rotation meant Mitch White stays in the rotation. I don't hate the idea, even with Mitch White as one of the starters. I don't like it as much as a six-man rotation of Bueller and Julio. And let's see if I can name all the Dodgers starters. Bueller, Julio, Anderson, Gonsolin, Kershaw, and Heaney. That six-man rotation, I love. I think it's great. It gives gives Bueller what he needs, gives Julio that extra rest that he might need after his big workload last year, gives obviously Kershaw's health could use that extra day of rest. And sometimes that would be pitching on 6 days rest, even with normal off days. So I think everybody would benefit if those six guys are all healthy from a six-man rotation.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, whatever, I'm in for a six-man rotation with whatever that means, everybody getting an extra day, I'm completely fine with.
Yep. All right. We've got several more questions, but we're going to take a quick break. We want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. It means a lot to us, and please keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. If this is your first time listening, maybe you haven't heard us talk about rockauto.com. I am a huge fan of rockauto.com. I had never heard of them before they became a sponsor of this podcast. And because they were sponsoring this podcast, I used them when I needed auto parts. I said, oh, I'm going to check out Rock Auto. And boy, oh boy, have I saved a bunch of money. A year or so ago, I saved over $1,000 buying new shocks for my Suburban. I guess technically struts. I think there's a difference between shocks and struts. I don't know the difference. I'm sure the guys at Rock Auto do. But I saved over $1,000 buying those parts through Rock Auto instead of through the dealership. And just recently, I've told the story, I needed to replace the handle on a Ford Fusion, the interior door handle on the driver's side door. And I bought the part for $8.16 on rockauto.com when it would have cost me $49.99 at the auto parts store. So every time I've compared prices, I've said, why would anybody buy anywhere except rockauto.com? And that's my question to you, dear listener. Why would you buy anywhere except rockauto.com? Don't do it. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And when you do buy something, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they will know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, we are back. I want to tell you about a favor we have to ask for you. We've put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and don't like about Locked On Podcasts. Go to lockedonpodcasts.com/survey right now to get started. It won't take very long, and everyone that completes a survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. To take our audience survey, go to lockedonpodcasts.com/survey. Thank you for your help. All right, Vince, let's jump back into our mailbag. We got a question from Jorge Medina at JMBlue73. I love seeing how many Dodger fans have something Dodgers related in their Twitter handles. I know I don't and you don't, but I'm glad that a lot of people do. That makes me happy. So JMBlue, assuming the blue stands for Dodger blue, I salute your Twitter handle. He says, with Gil Hodges finally getting into the Hall of Fame, should the Dodgers start a push to promote induction of other Dodger legends into the Hall of Fame?
I would advocate for the Dodgers to do that for anybody that's nearing or should be up for Hall of Fame election. I feel like you have a better grasp of who that is and who still needs to get in. So I'll just take this time to say they need to just retire 34 already and, not have to wait. He's not going to get into the Hall of Fame unless it's some very special, thing that hasn't really been done or they find out, for contributions to the game or something like that. So retired 34, and you probably have a better grasp of who's left out there that has a solid Hall of Fame case.
Yeah, and one caveat I would give is I don't know that there's too much that the Dodgers or as an organization can do. Every team thinks their guys should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think it's something you see more in the NFL. Like, they definitely push. I know the Raiders have pushed out, you know, when Tom Flores trying to get in and Ken Stabler back in the day. So I think it's definitely more like NFL thing.
Yeah, and the NFL, I know their election process is a lot different. I don't know. Maybe it is more open to campaigning. With, you know, needing to get like 400 votes from sports writers to get into the Hall of Fame, I guess most of the guys we're talking about here would be Veterans Committee guys. There aren't many former Dodgers on the current ballot who the Dodgers might be inclined to push for. But when you're talking about a guy like Fernando or Hershiser or Steve Garvey or, you know, any of those guys from the 70s, they're big players. You know, there's some Maury Wills. There's some guys who have a case to make the Hall of Fame. I don't think very many of them have a solid statistical case, but, you know, like you mentioned, Fernando, by any definition of the word fame, Fernando belongs in the Hall of Fame. But the Hall of Fame isn't actually about fame. It's about greatness. And Fernando was great for a very, very short period of time. Realistically, Fernando was only a great pitcher for 4, 5, maybe 6 years, you know, and that's just not long enough. Even though he played, I think he ended up playing 15 or 16 years. I mean, he wasn't a great pitcher after like 1986. Do you know Fernando is still the last pitcher to have 20 complete games in a season? In 1986, he had exactly 20 complete games. Nobody's had 20 since then. But yeah, I mean, so, you know, Oral Hershiser on the fame aspect, or even on the short burst of greatness from 85 to 89, Oral was, you know, one of the great stretches in baseball history. And so you could make cases for these guys. Steve Garvey obviously won an MVP, was, I think when he was playing, people thought of him as a future Hall of Famer. And it was only later, you know, his career was a little bit shorter too. And, you know, as you look at the numbers and realize, oh, he wasn't actually very good at getting on base. And I've heard the argument that if Steve Garvey had known that future voters were going to value on base percentage so highly, he would have taken more walks. I go back and forth on that argument because I think people intuitively know that the opposite of getting on base is getting out, and not getting out is a good thing. But Garvey, he was a middle of the order hitter. He came up and he wasn't looking for a walk. He was looking to drive in a run, and maybe his teams would have had more success if he had been, you know, occasionally taking a walk, but maybe they wouldn't have. But, you know, anyway, so there's a lot of guys who you could kind of make a case for. I don't know that any of them are close enough for the Dodgers to really put it out there. Maury Wills might be the main one who they could really push for, simply because he did. You can make a case that he changed the game, because people didn't steal bases until Maury Wills came along, and then he ushered in Lou Brock and Ricky Henderson and Vince Coleman and, you know, so many guys that era of the 70s and 80s, when guys really did steal a lot of bases. Maury Wills kind of started that. And so, again, he doesn't really have a statistical case to be in the Hall of Fame, but as a trailblazer and a guy who changed the game, I think the Dodgers could push for that. And he definitely wouldn't be the worst guy in the Hall of Fame. The veterans committees over the years have inducted a lot worse players than Maury Wills into the Hall of Fame. And so, I could see them making a push for him, but, you know, I don't know that it would actually have that much impact. Really, the way to get your guy in is to get one of his friends onto the Veterans Committee. You know, that it worked for Harold Baines. You got Tony La Russa on the committee, and suddenly everybody's a Harold Baines fan. And nothing against Harold Baines. Good dude. I had some health problems. I'm glad that he's healthy again. But, you know, probably not actually a Hall of Famer, but he got in because the right people are on the Veterans Committee. So maybe what the Dodgers need to do is campaign to get Maury Wills' old teammates onto the Veterans Committee. You're on mute.
Yes, let's get on to the next one. I'm going to combine a couple here. One from at HeavyJ28 asking on the timetable for Clayton Heaney in May, and then Dan at DodgersDan81. Says, can Gonson and Anderson keep their hot streak going? When is Dustin May expected to return? So on Kershaw, as far as we know, he should be pitching this weekend for the Dodgers against the Giants. And if not, then he probably would make one more start with the Quakes or whoever is closest where they need him to be. Andrew Heaney has at least one more start, probably two, in order for him to come back. And then Dustin May, for all we know, would be like an August return, maybe late July. We haven't heard any update on him recently, but he had been throwing bullpens as of a few weeks ago. So I would imagine we see him in late July or early August. But beyond that, Jeff, going to the question of, can Gonsolin and Anderson keep their hot streak going?
Yes and no. I don't think, I'll go out. So if Tony Gonsolin ends the season with a 1.59 ERA or better, I will eat a shoe, maybe a real shoe this time. But it's Tony Gonsolin won't stay as good as he's been, but I do think what we're seeing is basically for real. I don't know if I've talked about this much on this show. I know I've talked about it a few times on a radio show that I go on in Fresno kind of often, what made the difference for Gonsolin. And I think there's a bigger learning curve for changeup pitchers than for some other pitchers, because the changeup is more of a chase pitch. You're trying to get guys to chase out of the strike zone. And every time you go up a level, the hitters are a little bit better and therefore less likely to chase. And so, we've seen it with Ryan Pepiot, how, the command, whether it's actually his command or just, oh, guys in the major leagues don't chase this changeup that's 8 inches off the plate. I have to bring it to within 4 inches of the plate to get them to chase or whatever it is. And I think Tony Gonsolin had kind of the same thing. Once he was able to hone in, okay, where do I need to throw my changeup and start being able to really have success with that changeup, everything else plays off of that. His off speed, his fastball, everything plays off that splitter that Gonsolin throws. And so I think what we're seeing is a version of Tony Gonsolin that has basically figured it out, and he's got the talent and the raw stuff that a version of Tony Gonsolin that has figured it out is going to be a really good pitcher. So if he can stay healthy, yeah, I think Gonsolin's going to be, he's going to make the All-Star team probably, and he's going to deserve to. And I think the second half of the season, he's not going to be a guy who you will look back and say, how did he make the All-Star team? Oh yeah, he had a good first half. I think we're looking at, a good solid season for Tony Gonsolin. Tyler Anderson, that changeup is legit. And for whatever reason, he's having more success with it than he has with his other teams in the past. But, that's not really unheard of with the Dodgers bringing in pitchers. And, the Dodgers, what they do is they bring in guys with good stuff and help them put it together. And I think that's what we're seeing with Tyler Anderson. I expect he's going to have a couple of clunkers the rest of the way. But for the most part, yeah, he's going to go out there and he's going to give you six innings and allow two or three runs. And it's going to be good. And he'll finish the season with a 3.45 ERA. And we'll say, wow, that was a really good sixth starter.
Yeah, I mean, with Gonsolin, I think I had him a ERA under 3, but an ERA over 2. So just by that nature, he's going to be not keep the hot streak going, but nah, that's not necessarily a bad thing. And yeah, Tyler Anderson, I think he's going to be better than he has been in the past. And as long as he keeps throwing every 5-6 days, which is one of the biggest draws for him when they signed him, was that he had been a guy that's thrown 30 starts before and, doesn't rely on throwing hard. So, in theory, might be a little bit less prone for injury. So that's what we're counting on. Are they going to be as good as they are right now? Maybe not, but that doesn't mean they're not going to be good the rest of the way.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we have two more questions from two of our most loyal listeners, at least one of who has listened to us since we were a totally different podcast than we are. So we will be back with those in a second. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And please keep it locked on Dodgers. I want to talk to you about Built Bar. Another thing, I told you about Rock Auto. Now I'm telling you about Built Bar. Two companies that I'd never heard of before they started sponsoring this podcast. And now I can't imagine my life without them. Built Bar. When you need a snack and you want something that's not going to make you feel guilty because it's full of carbs and calories and fat and everything else, what you want is a Built Bar. It tastes like a candy bar, but it's healthy for you. It's low fat, low carb, low protein, low sugar, high fiber. No, high protein, not low protein. If something's supposed to be low, it's low. If something's supposed to be high, it's high. That's the magic of Built Bar. And high deliciousness. The deliciousness rating is off the charts. Whatever flavor you like, they're going to have something you like. If you don't know what you like, go buy a Built box or a mix box. I think they also throw a few Built puffs into those mix boxes. You can try those out. They're like chocolate covered marshmallows that are somehow healthy for you. So get a mix box, find out what you like, and then just order a ton of what you like. And whatever you order, go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, we are back. We've got two more questions, like I said, from two of our most loyal listeners. Let's go first with Kevin at BlueGoon82. He asks, what under-the-radar bat can we grab at the trade deadline? I'm thinking a right-handed option since Bellinger and Muncy could use a platoon option. Maybe Trey Mancini. What do you think, Vince?
I mean, Trey Mancini would be a good bat to have. The fact that he hits from the right side is maybe not, you know, the biggest thing you're looking for. You're looking for somebody that can hit against somebody that throws left-handed. But obviously a right-handed bat is usually what fits that role. Trey Mancini would be good. It's, you know, interesting. It's funny because, you know, you use the word the platoon option for Bellinger. And, you know, in theory, Trey Mancini doesn't play center field, but the Dodgers have enough pieces to move around to where they could platoon somebody if need be. You know, it's one of those where you were just kind of waiting to see which teams fall off and which teams, you know, stay up there. Trey Mancini, the Orioles are not going to be a playoff team. So that's one you could think of. If you go to the Tigers, they have, I think, Robbie Grossman, because they'll have Riley Green coming up soon. Robbie Grossman hits from both sides of the plate, but hits better from against left-handed pitching than he does against right-handed pitching in his career. So that's another name to go out there. But other than that, I mean, you're kind of waiting around to see, you know, I don't know. I don't think the White Sox have anyone, but they could be a team that falls out and doesn't have anything. The Angels, I don't think they have anything worthy that's not young talent, but, you know, they've lost 12 in a row, so who knows what they're going to be in another month. You know, and there's different teams. The Red Sox were maybe one of those teams you could go out and get somebody for, you know, maybe even somebody that's going to be a free agent. You know, the Dodgers don't need Xander Bogaerts, but I'm sure they could move people around if Xander Bogaerts somehow became available for half the season. So there's a lot of names, but I think realistically right now, Mancini, Robbie Grossman, I'm sure you might have a couple other names from teams that are more than likely not going to be involved in a playoff race that could be part of it. And then we had another question that kind of ties into this from at WF Wayne. And he talks about what farmhands you anticipate will be called up. So, I mean, you could get right-handed bats from there in terms of if you want to try Miguel Vargas or even further down the line, Andy Páez. But other than that, I don't think there's, you know, Vargas might be the one that they do try out that hits from the right side. And everything in general, Michael Bush would be another guy, but he hits from the left side who could come up. But I don't think there's too much that they're looking for in terms of help from a team, at least in hitting. There's not too much down there to look forward to coming up from the minors.
Yeah, I don't think Kevin will be surprised when I quibble with the premise of his question. I don't think you're going to platoon Bellinger because Bellinger is the best defensive center fielder in baseball, and there's a ton of value there. And Bellinger, in his career, has hit lefties just fine. He isn't hitting lefties as well as righties this year, and he didn't as well in 2018. But overall, Bellinger has hit lefties just fine. Muncy, I'd take it a step further. Muncy, in his career, is better against lefties than against righties, and that's not a small sample anymore. This year, he's a little bit worse against lefties than against righties, but the issue this year is that he's bad against everybody, and that's what they're trying to figure out. So I don't see either of those guys getting platooned, and I don't think Trey Mancini is really a platoon option. He's actually better against righties than lefties this year and almost exactly equal over the course of his career. Trey Mancini is an everyday player regardless of where he plays, and so maybe if the Dodgers had an injury, maybe they go after Trey Mancini, but I mean they don't have openings at the positions he plays, and he's not a bench guy. He's not a platoon guy. So it's hard to see him really being an option for me. Honestly, it's hard to see them really prioritizing offense much at all at the trade deadline, unless they do have a key injury or two, because, you know, with the roster, like it is with the DH, they already have a short bench. Even once the pitching limits finally do go down to only 13 pitchers, that still leaves them with a backup catcher and a three-man bench. And, you know, it's not like there's a ton of room. And, you know, really, if they're looking to replace Hanser Alberto as the right-handed bat off the bench, maybe. And, you know, I'm not necessarily opposed to that from a production standpoint. Alberto is definitely a fan favorite and a good clubhouse guy, but he could be a clubhouse guy from the Phantom IL. You know, he doesn't need to be on the active roster to do that. So maybe they're looking to replace that, but it seems to me like pitching is going to be more of a focus at the trade deadline, just because there's going to be injuries there, whether it's bullpen or starters. You know, there's going to be pitchers available who would improve the team. And I don't know who those will be, but I expect pitching to be more of a priority than the offense.
I mean, they could look at it in last year and say, you know, you didn't expect injuries to happen. And, you know, Max Muncy gets hurt late and you don't have anybody to call up. And, you know, you're seeing Steven Souza taking at-bats and some of the biggest at-bats of the season. So I guess in theory, I do think that maybe they don't prioritize it, but I do think if they can pick up a bat, you know, David Freese was such a perfect acquisition that one year where, you know, that there's not always going to be a David Freese available, but some of the other teams start dropping now and there is a name to go grab, I do think they will consider it.
Yeah. But last year, Souza and Rayleigh and those guys, DJ Peters, they were getting at bats anyway because of the injury issues. And so, you know, it's not like they, you know, this year's roster is different than last year's, both in terms of health and in terms of roster composition. So I don't know. It's hard to, David Freese guys don't come along very often. Guys who are content to be a bench player, but can come off the bench and hit really well when they do get a start, or, you know, that it's a special thing. And that's why David Freese was such a fan favorite, because what he was able to do was pretty special. Even Chase Utley a little bit in that kind of role. Chase Utley probably started more than anybody would have preferred just because of injury things. But, you know, when he was filling that role, he was pretty solid at it. But, you know, those guys don't come along every day.
Yeah. I'm just saying, we're one injury away from Hanser Alberto playing every day. So I would, if there's somebody out there, I'd say go get him. But last question from Brandon Johnson, our buddy at BrandonJohn442. He mentioned how he was watching a broadcast of a different team and they did a checking in with the minors segment during the game. And then he asked, do you think Sportsnet LA should start doing this?
Yeah, I'm interested to know, Brandon, if it was a Braves game you were watching, because that, I actually noticed them doing that. I was watching the game a week or two ago. Just the Dodger game hadn't started yet, and I had MLB TV up and saw the Braves were playing. And so I think they were playing the Marlins, and I always like to watch the Marlins to see if Peyton Henry is playing. He's back in the minors now. But yeah, I saw the Braves broadcast doing that, and I actually had a similar thought. I wonder if the Dodgers would do that. And I think I came to the conclusion that they wouldn't, for a couple reasons. And this is going to sound condescending towards the Braves, and I absolutely mean it that way. The Dodgers and Braves are different kinds of franchises. I know the Braves won the World Series last year, but the Braves also were too cheap to pay their franchise player. You know, the Braves are a team, while, yeah, the Dodgers have a great farm system, and we've seen that over the years, you know, and they have a ton of homegrown talent, more than most teams of baseball, definitely more than most great teams in baseball. You know, you got Clayton Kershaw and Cody Bellinger and Will Smith and Walker Buehler and all these guys who came at Julio, who came up through the Dodgers system, either drafted or international free agents signed. And then even the other guys, you know, that they picked up off the scrap heap. The Dodgers are really good at that, and their current farm system is really exciting. But I think that Dodger fans in general aren't as interested in that, because it, just the way the Dodgers build their team, it's like, yeah, we all trust that when the time comes, yeah, they're going to have somebody from the minor leagues coming up. But I don't know that Dodger fans would be that interested in an update. Hey, how did Jacob Amaya do in AA this week? He's in AAA now, I think. But and he's even on the 40-man roster, and I don't think people would be that interested in him right now. Once he comes up to the big leagues, yeah, then they'll be interested. But I think just the nature of the Dodgers as a team, the way they build their team, the way they're willing to spend money, I don't think the farm system is as important to the everyday casual Dodger fan as it might be to fans of other teams. Does that make sense? And do you think I'm wrong, Vince?
It makes sense. And I think you're selling Dodger fans a little short, at least in recent times. But also that's from the skew of, being online a lot, because, the people online do like to know about the prospects. But I have, Dodger fans for the most part are knowledgeable in the sense of when a top position, even last year when Josiah Gray came up, that was somebody people had known. He probably was, known because he was a top prospect, not just, Jacob Amaya is a good example of, yeah, we probably don't care about him. And I don't know how in-depth the segment that Brandon watched was, and I don't know how in-depth, we're talking about with this segment. But, I mean, the Dodgers show Bobby Miller highlights on Sports in LA sometimes. They've shown other highlights. I don't think they've shown, like, Páez or Miguel Vargas or anybody like that recently. But if somebody is worthy of being shown, I think they've shown them before. Maybe a whole entire segment might be, but even just a graphic in passing during one of the in-between innings, I think, could be something they do, or maybe end of the month, down the quick look, like I said, a passing graphic. But yeah, for the most part, I do think there's not like a demand for in-depth, but I do think they do some of it already. And if they did a little bit more of it, I don't think it would be the worst thing. But yeah, like I said, for the general Dodger fan, they probably don't care, but I do think, even with Joe Davis too, the new age Dodger fans are, in theory, you should kind of want to promote like some of these teams too, because there are Dodger fans all over, and maybe they don't know that there's a guy that's, a top prospect playing in Oklahoma. And if you're a Dodger fan in Oklahoma, you probably know who they are, but maybe you don't. I don't know. But yeah, I do think there's not a demand for it, but I don't think it would be like, oh my God, this is not what we're looking for.
Yeah, I could see that, and I do think you and I are interested in Dodger prospects, and I think the online Dodger fans are. But I think if you were to look at, say the download numbers for this podcast, and you look when we had Josiah Gray on the show, it did fine, but it wasn't like people were clamoring for that. On our previous iteration of the podcast, we had Will Smith and Cody Bellinger when they were in the minor leagues. And, if we got Cody Bellinger on the show today, it would be our biggest download episode. When we got him when he was in double A, it was like, oh, I think I've heard of that guy. And so I don't know. I think the proof is in the pudding. And I think we would all like to think that a lot of fans would be interested in that. But for my personal experience, it doesn't seem like they really are.
But I do think it's way better than it was before, obviously. So,
Yeah, absolutely. And, and being online, and the Dodgers do have a good farm system, and, we try to keep you updated on them here. But also there's a reason we don't harp on it a ton, because the Dodgers major league team is enough to keep us excited, and we'll just kind of enjoy the minor leaguers when they do make it to the big leagues.
true that.
Think that does it for today, right? You got anything else, Vince?
Got nothing else. Just looking forward to seeing AJ Pollock, and hopefully see him I can root against, and I don't feel bad if he strikes out 4 times.
Yeah, and if any right-handed pitchers have a slider, there's a decent chance that'll happen.
Yeah.
So, thank you all for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We really appreciate it. Now, for your second listen, check out the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan, aka Sully, brings humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. If you're not watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every day, we would love if you add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. If you have friends or family who like the Dodgers as much as you do, tell them about the show. Maybe they'll like the show. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places, so you can reach out to us anytime you want. You can also reach out to us via email. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.